Hi, welcome to Cochrane Alliance Church and our online sermons. We are so glad you are able to join us. We pray that this sermon will be a blessing and an encouragement to you this week.
Well, we have, over the last few weeks, been working through a series called The Songs of Christmas. And today brings us to what we celebrated here this morning, the Angels' Song. And we got to hear the fullness of it and see a little bit more of the context. But the angel song itself that we find in Scripture is actually pretty brief, but it's clear. Here's what we read in Scripture about the song of the angels, and it comes from Luke chapter 2, verses 13 through 15. It says, "Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests.' And when the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.'" See, pretty short and brief, but also clear. And I just want us to see two simple things this morning that come from the song of the angels. Two main things that the angels sing about, the two are this: what God deserves and what humanity needs. What does God deserve? Well, the angels sing that God deserves the glory. In their joy, the angels sing, "Glory to God in the highest." And now glory is one of those words that maybe we use so often in the church, so frequently, that we might not realize that we actually don't really know what it means. But this word glory is interesting because it means weight at its root. Now, if we are to give weight to something or to someone, we are acknowledging its importance. Giving weight is to give praise and is to give honor, as we heard here this morning. And so the angels sing glory to God because in this moment, the world is about to see the fullness of who God is, and they are about to experience his very real presence with them. For these two reasons, who God is and his presence with us, the angels sing glory to God. When we give glory to God, we are honoring him because his reputation demands it. And in this sense, glory is used as an adjective that describes God. The glory of God is the visible manifestation of his attributes and his character. So God's glory is the magnificence, the worth, the loveliness, the grandeur of his many perfections. God is intrinsically glorious in the sense of fullness, sufficiency, majesty, beauty, and splendor. Amanda Schenkenberger writes these words. She says, "Glory can be described as the full weight of God's nature, all of his goodness and faithfulness, all of the I am statements, which we just went through, he makes about himself, all of his power and kingliness, all of his creativity, holiness, righteousness, wrath, and love, all of these things make up his glory. Glory is not one thing, it's all the things about God." And so knowing this is the God who created us, the God we serve, should be reason enough to give glory to God. Yet when we talk of the glory of God, it's also a noun, as God's glory is also, as we see in the fullness of the birth of Jesus, his presence with us. If you want to see the glory of God, all you need to do is look to Jesus. And I believe the part of the angels' joyous song that gave glory to God was because the presence of God was coming to the world in the person of Jesus. And Jesus is given this name, Emmanuel, which means God with us. Brennan Manning, in his book, The Ragamuffin Gospel, says, we should be astonished at the goodness of God, stunned that he should bother to call us by name, our mouths wide open at his love, bewildered that at this very moment we are standing on holy ground. See, the birth of Jesus was all about the world experiencing God's glory, his presence with us. The birth of Jesus that the angels sang was to put on display the greatness and the glory of God. And in this, God resolved our problem of being unable to know and to understand him by sending his son into the world as a baby. And it would be the person of Jesus who would walk the earth that would reveal God's glory in the clearest possible way to a sinful and broken world. John 1:18 says, "No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father has made him known." To give glory to God is simply to give him the honor and the praise and the worship that his reputation demands. There's no way we can make God more glorious than he already is. But what we can do is hold him in the highest regard, giving him the transcendent praise of which he alone is worthy. And that is what the angels sang about. But the song also speaks to what humanity needs. The angels describe this as peace to those on whom his favor rests. The word peace comes from this Hebrew word shalom, which speaks more that to more than just a feeling. It refers to this idea that everything will be as it should be. It speaks to wholeness, completeness, harmony, and security. And so I am confident that we can all agree that the world is not as it should be. The world is not how God desires that it would be. So why is it then that the angels sing about peace coming to our world? Well, it all goes back to the glory of God, who he is, and his presence with us, which was about to be seen in the fullness and the birth of Jesus. Peace that would be coming was coming in the form of a baby. The angels give glory to God because they knew that he was working to reclaim and to restore a world that had been affected by sin. And so despite our brokenness, God would still bring about this promise of peace through the gift of his presence with us. God is faithful and will restore peace to the world. And Jesus is the one that was being sent to bring that peace. This is the unique and glorious reality of the Messiah, that he himself came into our mess, not only making a way to rescue us, but doing the work to restore us into wholeness and right relationship with our Creator and with one another. And Christ has done this in many ways already. In sending his promised ruler, God was able to trample death underfoot when Christ our ruler died on the cross. Because of our obedience, peace is being restored to our world, even though we still see much brokenness. And so when we choose to follow him, we join in bringing peace. To receive the good news of the gospel is to come to understand that despite our background, our failures, God reaches out to us with a loving message of peace. Receiving the gospel is not just understanding an abstract idea, but it is believing by faith that the glorious Father of the universe is now pleased with us and speaks peace into our lives and world. At the heart of Christmas is our belief that the birth of Jesus was coming as God had promised, and peace is extended to those on whom God's favor rests. The people to whom God draws near through Jesus will experience life and the peace that God bestows. And so the message the angels delivered that night indeed was good news. And it was a joyful message that led the shepherds to then respond with joy. And so our response to the song and the angel should be the same as the shepherds that night that first heard the song of the angels. And that brings us to the lighting of our Advent candle for today. Today we get to light three candles, the third candle being our candle of joy. And as we light the joy candle this morning, it's a reminder that we experience the glory of God in our lives. And when we do, we can't help but be filled with joy as the shepherds were that night. See, we don't need to try to conjure up some fake emotion or some excessive emotional response. But joy comes from continually giving God the glory. And just like the shepherds, we're invited to embrace and share the good news, the gospel of Christ. So I'm going to invite us to join in proclaiming the good news to the world and to find our purpose in embracing the Savior who came for us all. Let us join in the angel's song and sing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men." And invite us to stand one more time if you are able. We're going to close our time as we sing once more.